Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by RamVPN.com, the leading provider of next-generation online anonymity and VPN security solutions. Their architecture is unique, tamper-safe, and 100% guaranteed. They even accept Bitcoin. Listeners of the Organic View Radio Show can receive a 15% discount in 3-month and 6-month personal plans by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. For more promotional offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com.
On today's show, Susan Fixton, the founder of the Association for the Truth About Pet Food, will be joining me today to discuss some disturbing new research about pet food that will shock you. So I'd like to welcome to the show Susan Fixton.
Hey, June. So glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you back, Susan. You have been one busy lady.
Yeah, I've been a little busy.
Now, this research, I know this has been something in the works for a very, very long time. But for the folks that are listening out there that are not familiar with your work, could you explain to them what prompted you to have this research done and just how you got everything started?
Well, it all started actually with a pet food consumer group in Hong Kong. And they tested pet foods, some of them being U.S.-manufactured pet foods, and they found melamine, which was the cause of the 2007 very deadly pet food recall, deadliest in history. And they also found mycotoxins. And so I wrote about this on Truth About Pet Food, and my readers said, let's do the same thing. And, you know, back and forth in comments, I said, you know, we'd need at least $10,000 to do anything effectively. And one person stepped up. Now, keep in mind, June, these people, they know me from the site, but they couldn't pick me out of a lineup, okay? They don't know me, and they trusted me. One person posted a comment saying she'll start this off with a donation of $2,500. And within about 20, 30 minutes, another person came forward and said, I will match that amount. So we had $5,000 right off the bat. This was probably like on a Thursday or Friday, I, over the weekend, got an Indiegogo campaign together for donations. And we raised almost $16,000. It took a while to get the details worked out of who was going to help us. But then once we did that, we had scientists that volunteered their time and their work to help us in overseeing the testing. Products were purchased all online, minus one being purchased from a veterinarian, and then shipped to one of the scientists. Also it needs to be stressed, since we've come under scrutiny, that these are forensic scientists. So if anybody knows how to properly handle, because they don't want to contaminate evidence, so to speak, forensic scientists know. Dr. Sengag took all the samples and prepared them to send them to the labs. He contracted all the labs on our behalf, and he sent all the samples to the laboratories blind, meaning all the labs had no idea what brands of pet foods they were testing. I'm sure they knew they were pet foods, but they did not know what brands they were testing. The last lab, the bacteria results from Baylor University took a while to get back to us, but they were the last things we were waiting on. But when we got all the results, then I started doing homework on what the bacteria was that we found, and I found horrifying things, quoting the FDA. Several of the bacteria are termed by the FDA in the Federal Register, which means law. They're termed qualifying pathogens. They are qualifying pathogens because they pose a threat, a serious threat, according to the FDA, to human health because they're antibiotic resistant. I also found information on the Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, and they stated one of the bacteria that we found is linked to meat putrefaction, which is putrid meat, spoiled meat. So it was mind-boggling. And it remains mind-boggling. We found very high levels in especially two samples of mycotoxins. And mycotoxins at low levels over time, science has proven, can be a risk to the pets consuming the food, liver disease as example. Mycotoxins at high levels can be deadly. And we also found we did a guaranteed analysis testing, and we tested the mineral content of the pet foods, and we found three dog foods to be not abiding by the established pet food regulations as far as particular nutrient requirements. As example, the maximum allowed for calcium in a adult dog food is 2.5%. One of the dog foods tested, and this was a prescription dog food, it tested at 7.2%, almost three times the legal limit. So it was very concerning results.
Well, as you pointed out over the years since I've known you, this is an industry that is not regulated. Pretty much anything goes. And until a significant number of animals have died, that's really when action is taken, unfortunately.
Well, a significant number of animals died. Yeah, forgive me, June. But a significant number of animals died in 2007 from that recall. Nothing. Not one thing to date has changed per regulation since that recall. A significant number of dogs have died related to jerky treats from China. The FDA still sits on their hands, and they have not given consumers a reason why. And it's been 8 years. So, I mean, there are regulations. It is an unregulated industry, but it's only unregulated because authorities, FDA and State Department of Agriculture, choose not to enforce the laws we have.
That is absolutely preposterous, especially when you think about how many people are brand loyal when it comes to the food that they purchase for their animal companions, or even people that are just trying to get whatever they can to feed strays or donate food to shelters and whatnot.
It's
like they're buying something that is going to harm these animals.
The situation, what I feel like as a consumer advocate, the biggest concern is that the law has a very clear definition of food. And even though it's called pet food, it is actually, most of them out there are actually pet feed. because regulatory authorities do not enforce food law with pet food. They consider it animal feed. Now, animal feed is like livestock feed. And when you're going to feed, you know, a head of cattle, you're going to dump it on the ground or in these bins that are sitting outside. But pet food, unlike animal feed, is brought into the home. So the concern is that the label says food, but it is not held to food laws. Pet food ingredients do not have to, by regulation, be transported under refrigeration in clean vehicles, truck trailers. So you can imagine a dirty trailer in the summer with a load of meat in it. And it can be out in the sun. It's all welcome. It is acceptable to this industry, to regulatory authorities.
That is the mentality of many people, unfortunately. They don't realize that the way that the food is handled could impact the health of these animals because they don't really care for the most part. If you were to prepare something for a family member or your own children, you would think that you would take certain precautions as far as health and safety. The Department of Health is pretty strict when it comes to food that's being prepared for human consumption, but it's just interesting that pretty much anything goes when it comes to food that's being used for the preparation of some sort of food that's going to be fed to a domestic animal.
Yes, yes. And being brought into home. So if there is a dangerous bacteria in the food, and it is handled by children or handled by the elderly, some of it gets dumped on the counter, then that bacteria is then exposing the entire family. And what we found, the bacteria we found, we had a food scientist person discount our results. She posted information this morning, but she can like it or not. The results speak for themselves. We found very serious bacteria. Yes, these bacteria are more known to be found in hospital infections, but they might only be more known in hospital infections because no one prior to us, our consumer testing, ever looked for them in pet food.
My concern is this. If I'm purchasing a product to feed to my animal companion, and then whether it's a dog, cat, what have you, gets sick, there's a very, very big price that's to be paid. Emotionally, the attachment that I have, my family has, to the cats, to the dog, what have you, not to mention just knowing that the purchase that I made hurt that animal. This is one of the reasons why I don't like to buy commercial pet food. I don't trust it.
I find it very unfortunate. Well, since these results came out, my website has been hacked. The press release that we sent was pulled off the internet. And then we get this attack this morning. And to me, we all make assumptions. We do not know, but we make assumptions that it is response from big pet food as to why these things happen. Well,
of course it is.
Me,
they're not going
to
hack you if you're doing something that they agree with. I go through this all the time.
But if they don't understand that consumers are their bread and butter. And yeah, they may not like our complaints, but if they want our business, to me, they should be man enough or woman enough to go, okay, You found some things.
It's not even about that. It's not even about that. Right now they're making money hand over fist by duping the consumer into thinking that what they're buying is quality. And you basically proved that what they're buying is something they shouldn't be buying because it could pose a health threat to their animal companion. And the bottom line is you are making them lose market share. That's why you got hacked. That's why you're getting these sock puppets that are coming out of the woodwork attacking you, attacking the research, because they're paid to do that. Because their only obligation is to make, these corporations have one obligation, and that's to keep making money. By law, they are obligated to do so. And when somebody such as yourself, and Susan, I know you for many years, you've been really campaigning very hard, and I'm sure that you could enjoy yourself in and live life comfortably instead of dealing with this day in and day out. But this is something that you are very passionate about and also very, very dedicated to making the changes happen so that people don't suffer the way that you do. A lot of people forget that you lost a dog many years ago because of pet food.
Yes. Yeah, that's what got me started on this path. Yeah. Well, I don't understand, you know, that the industry, I've been going to these regulatory meetings and for several years, and never once have they made the offer, okay, let's sit down at the table and let's try to work on this. Let's each give a little and let's try to work on this. And never once. They don't bother. And to me, there is such a lack of trust. And that same, let's come to the table and let's talk about this, also is FDA and State Department of Agriculture and AFCO. Now, I do have to say that FDA, at the last meeting in July, did sit down with us, and we discussed the exact thing I was just talking about, the feed and food part, but they just don't, they're not hearing consumers. And I have asked repeatedly for the regulatory authorities to let me bring 10 consumers all in on a conference call, or we'll all come to Washington and sit down with you. I want you face-to-face to these people, and they can tell you about their dog's death or their cat's death. And then you try to give them your same response. You need to see their faces and hear their stories, but they won't do it.
What disturbs me is that the people that are attacking you are getting paid for those attacks, but they are basically trying to contribute to these problems. That's in essence what they're doing, because they're not coming up with solutions. All they're doing is trying to find ways to attack you so that you can't continue your advocacy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's... They want to keep things going along the path that it's been going, and, you know, in the past, but we're not going back to the past. Consumers will never go back to that.
And I think especially with the following that you have, the number of subscribers that you have to your newsletter and just your reach, I think everything that they do truly is making it very clear that you're making progress, because you've got their attention, because they know that what they're doing is wrong. They just want to try to milk it a little bit longer so that they can enjoy the market share that they've enjoyed for so many years prior to your decision to start advocating for change.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't think they realize they're wrong. I honestly don't think regulatory authorities realize they're wrong. They can't see the forest for the trees. And that is so unfortunate. I've been a regulatory authority in Texas firmly believes that he even told a consumer who lost 7 dogs and 5 baby pigs that ate a dog food And the particular plant was an hour away from his office, and he did not bother to go investigate. He told this consumer that it is perfectly safe for dogs to eat garbage, spoiled garbage. He told a consumer that. Of course, he denied that to me, but I'm choosing to believe the consumer.
Would he eat garbage? I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they have that mentality of it's just a dog or it's just a cat. But
to us,
yeah,
to
us it is not just a dog or just a cat. This is our family.
Exactly, and with so many dogs and cats that are in the news about helping, you know, family member, whether it's a dog that woke up a family member when the house was on fire or, you know, just something. There are so many instances that are occurring all over the world, and people really need to start waking up to the fact that they're not just animals that, you know, are worthless. These are animals that have tremendous value.
That's right.
Now, Susan, let me ask you a question. The staph bacteria was also found. That is disturbing. People get very, very sick from staph. And I just want to point out, there are a lot of people who, and this may be difficult for some people to imagine, but it's true, there are a lot of people who actually do eat pet food. And it makes you wonder, what are they consuming?
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of like a joke. Oh, yeah, the old lady who eats cat food because she has a limited budget, but there are people who do eat it.
Yes, there are strain or species of staph that are related to 11,000 human deaths a year. And now we did not have the funding to do this to determine the species. So we have to look at it that some staph are not as dangerous as others, but we have to look at the whole picture and the what if, because what if it was this antibiotic resistant particular species of staph that's linked to 11,000 human deaths, 80,000 illnesses a year. What if?
The
you know,
is, why is this stuff in pet food, period? It doesn't belong in human-grade food. It doesn't belong in pet food. And that's the bottom line. All these people that are attacking you, they can't avoid that question, which is why is it there to begin with? It shouldn't be.
That's right. But we now have the evidence, you know. Now what regulatory authorities do with our evidence is we will see. But, you know, before they've always, you know, discounted us because that we are a science-based organization. Well, we have provided them with science. So, and it very firm, solid science. And
Susan,
so it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Did you see or did you get any responses from the pet food manufacturers in question?
Not one has contacted me.
And what was the process for sending them the research?
Well, I didn't send them the research because, I don't have a contact, an email address for anyone inside these companies. The only way to reach them is through their contact form on their website, and so I did not send it to them. I had no way to add an attachment and send them the results. And I would be more than glad to send them the results, but they need to email me so I have some person to send it to.
And that's,
but that has
is
not
true.
Happened.
It is very difficult for a pet parent, if you will, to contact some of these companies because they don't make it that the information readily available. That's something that you've talked about numerous times, especially when people have an issue where their animal companion gets sick or, God forbid, should die. You know, the process that's involved, and it's not easy, folks. So, Susan, what's the next step? What are you going to do now that the study is done? Where do you go from here?
Well, next week we have the next round of regulatory pet food regulatory meetings, so I'll be going to that and discussing the results with authorities there. And, you know, whatever they need. The FDA did contact me today. I do have for the FDA direct email addresses, so I sent the results to my contact at the FDA and ask her to forward, you know, the PDF to whoever at the agency to give us their feedback on our testing. And they asked me today for testing methodology. I gave her the names of two of the labs, the lab that did the mycotoxin testing and the lab that did the bacteria, and told her that I'm sure those labs would be more than glad to share with FDA their testing methodology so that they can understand how these results were obtained. When our scientists that oversaw the project are out of the country, they are literally out of the country. They're in Mongolia doing forensic work in Mongolia right now. And when they return in about 2 weeks, I will get from them all of the testing methodology and will provide it to FDA and to whoever else, you know, pet food manufacturers, State Department of Ags, whoever else wants it. You know, we welcome all scrutiny because we know the results are going to hold up against anyone.
Thank you. Susan, how can our listeners get a copy of this research?
Well, since Truth About Pet Food was hacked, it is hit or miss whether you're going to be able to access the testing results or not, but you can try truthaboutpetfood.com or you can try associationfortruthinpetfood.com and then look for the pet food test results link.
And folks, if you can be patient, I'll provide the links on theorganicu.com so that when Susan is able to restore the site, you'll be able to access that information.
And they can download, when they can reach the site, they can download the full PDF. The full PDF is 52 pages long. I mean, this was very in-depth testing that we did, so the results are not a one-sheet piece of paper. It was a lot of information to provide to consumers. Consumers paid a lot of money for this. So to me, I felt like they deserved a full report. And so it's 52 pages long, but I think it's very simple for everyone to understand. It has all the links to anything that was quoted. It has all the links there provided to show that I didn't pull this out of thin air. I am quoting well-known sources, the Centers for Disease Control, the FDA, and the Agriculture Association of the United Nations. So,
Susan,
and all those links are in there.
The work that you do is just tremendous, and I just want to say thank you for everything that you've been through, for all the work that you've been doing all these years. You've helped so many people. You have educated me. I mean, I'm just so grateful for everything that you've taught me over the years, as well as the listeners. We've had so much feedback about the different segments that you've done on The Organic View. So, you know, thank you so much. And I look forward to having you come back a little bit later on this year.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
And once again, folks, please check out Susan's website, truthaboutpetfood.com, and there will be links in the companion article for this interview. Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. This has been June Stoyer with the Organic View Radio Show. Have a great afternoon, everyone.